two introductions make you feel kind of special, huh? Acknowledge a few things before we got started. He sits on the board for a company called First Look, and they are a pregnancy center, and they help families who are thinking about abortions. They bring those families in, counsel them, and they give them other options to preserve the baby's life. And so they are hosting their first look annual fundraiser banquet on February the 7th at 7 p.m. And Mac has a table reserved for his guests who would like to come. Tickets are $50 per person. And so if you're able to make it, Mac would love to see you there. Again, that is February the 7th at 7 p.m. And then also tomorrow is our third annual Martin Luther King Jr. celebration service. We'll be having it at First United Methodist Church at 10 a.m. If you're able to make it out, we would love to see you there. Amen. All right, now time for the word. Amen. I want to acknowledge my grandmother, my aunt. Thank you all for being here this morning. Continual supporters of what God has called me to do, as well as my lovely wife, Miss Erie Mae Dominic. So on today, we are going to continue the series, My Spiritual Growth. How many of you all have enjoyed this series thus far? Amen. First week, Pastor dealt with Joseph's pain dealing with the dream and his brothers selling him, throwing him into the pit, and then him being sold into slavery. And then last week he dealt with Joseph's reality as he was in prison, and then he made his way to the palace. And up to this point, Joseph has been through quite a lot, from one situation to another. It looks as though when he got out of the pit and he was in Potiphar's house, that everything was going to be all right. But then he faced another situation, Potiphar's wife lying on him. Now he was thrown in prison, and now he's back out and in the palace, serving second in command to the Pharaoh. And so today we're going to deal with Joseph's maturity. Joseph's maturity. It makes no sense for us to go through situations and not learn from those situations. Because to go through a situation and not learn from it is just wasted time. If you're not able to look back over the situation and see what God was trying to show you, or to see the areas that you may have needed to be developed in, all you've done is waste time. And if anybody else is involved with you in the situation, not only have you wasted their time, your time, but you've wasted their time as well. And so if you all remember when you were in school, I know for some that may be a while ago, and that's all right. For me, it was just 10 years ago, so I'm still young, right? Just know I said it in love. If you all remember, after the first 18 weeks of school, first couple of months of school, you had what was called a benchmark or a midterm exam, right? And the purpose of the midterm exam was to test the knowledge that you were supposed to have been learning in those first couple of months. Now, I had some friends that the benchmark was not always good for them. Because it always revealed that they did not study. It always revealed that they did not pay attention. And so today, we're going to look at Joseph's next benchmark or Joseph's next midterm. Because this is the first time that Joseph is going to see his brothers in almost 20 years. And can you imagine the emotions that Joseph is going to feel being face to face with the men who threw him in a pit and tried to kill him and get rid of him? Can you imagine being in his situation? People who have done you wrong, years pass, and then now you have to face them again. The question on the table is, how do you respond? How do you respond? And so Joseph's maturity caused him to respond a different way. Now, what's interesting about this is Joseph is now in position where he controls who eats and who doesn't eat. Being the governor, he's over the grain, and he has the power to say, I'll either give you grain, I'll sell you grain, or I will not sell you grain. And so now he's faced with his brothers. As Brenton read, his brothers came to him, and they bowed with their faces to the ground. And Joseph, at first, see what I love about the Bible is, a lot of times, we portray the characters in the Bible as though they're superhumans. Right? As though they did not have any struggles. When we do that, it's very difficult for us to relate to them because it seems that they are on a whole nother level than what we're on. But if you look at the first few verses here in chapter 42, and I just want to highlight it for your hearing, it says that in verse 7, as soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Genesis 42, verse 7. And so at this moment, at first glance, Joseph responds harshly to his brothers. When you say, well, Aaron, you said he responded a different way. We'll get there. But at first, he responded harshly to his brothers. Doesn't that sound like something we might do? Because we're not perfect. We're not always going to have the right response for everybody. So in this moment, we see Joseph's humanity as he dealt with his brothers. But I want to go down to verse 18, because now what's happening is Joseph begins to accuse them of being spies. He begins to question them. And that's going to be the development over these next two chapters, is this back and forth between Joseph and his brothers, the questioning, trying to figure out all of this information about his brothers, to see how the family's doing, to see how his dad's doing, to see how Benjamin, Joseph's blood brother, is doing. But in verse 18, Joseph, at this time, Joseph had thrown his brothers in custody, threw them in jail because he accused them of being spies. But he makes a statement in verse 18 that shows the shift from this natural response to a bigger response, the right response for the moment. Verse 18 says, on the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you will live, for I fear God. So Joseph's response at first may have been caused by emotion, a natural response. Yet when we get to verse 18, he says, I fear God. And so now he lets his brothers out of custody and he sends them on their way to go back home. And so let's look at what Joseph does. How does this response look different? So verse 25 and 26, Joseph gives them all of their money back. Let's read it. It says, Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. Hold on, wait a second. Joseph just sees the guys who threw him in a pit and tried to kill him. And now, not only is he giving them grain, but the money that they paid him, he gave it back to them. And also he provided, gave them provisions for their journey back home. What kind of response is that? That's not the normal response. The normal response is, we want to get back at you for what you did to me. You hurt me. And so now I want to deal with you the way that you dealt with me. But Joseph says, you know what? I'm going to give you your money back. You're not going to have to pay for the grain. And then I'm going to give you provisions to make sure that you make it back home safely. You see, as we grow and mature in the Lord, God wants us to respond to what his word says, not how we feel. Whatever the situation calls for, it is not calling for us to respond based on how we feel, but based on who God has revealed himself to us to be. And Joseph, in this moment, I love it because not only did he give them their money back, but now when they come back after talking with their dad, you move over to chapter 43, verses 16 and 17, and Joseph prepares a feast for them in his home. Here he is, the governor of Egypt. And typically, governors don't get involved with civilian affairs like this. It's not common for the governor to come down and mingle amongst the people like this. But here Joseph is, dealing with his brothers, gives them provision, and now he brings them into his home for a feast. The text says, when Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon. The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Spiritual maturity says, yeah, you might have done me wrong, but I choose to respond to you a different way. Yes, you might have hurt me. Yes, you might have caused me pain. You might have caused me sorrow, but I choose to respond to you a different way. Why could Joseph respond this way? If you all remember, he had sons at the end of chapter 41. And at the end of chapter 41, it says, before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble in all my father's household. So Joseph could respond the way that he responded to his brothers because God had blessed him with a son and caused him to forget all of his troubles. And then 52 says, the second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Could it be that the reason we respond naturally to situations and to people when they offend us, when they do us wrong, could it be because we have forgotten what God has done for us? You see, the children of Israel, they were really good at forgetting what God had done for them. They were notorious for forgetting what God had done. And in this moment, Joseph remembers what God has done, and it causes him to respond a different way. You see, we want to deal with people the way they dealt with us. We don't want to offer them grace. We don't want to offer them mercy. We want to take vengeance into our own hands and say, I'm about to deal with you. But yet we forget the same grace and mercy that God showed to us is the same grace and mercy we are to show to other people, despite how they make you feel. Because as a believer, your response, you're not entitled to your feelings anymore. You are bound and held accountable to the word of God and what it says to your life. And so, again, You have to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, is the reason I'm responding the way that I'm responding, is it because I have forgotten what God has done for me? You know, it's an interesting thing raising kids, and I'm learning this in my young age, that your kids will really test your patience. I mean, they really do something to you now. If you want your salvific walk to be tested, have kids. Because there are times when my sons get on my nerves, and I really want to deal with them how Aaron wants to deal with them. You know, that's it. I want to rock the world. I grab the paddle, the belt, whatever. And I'm really ready to discipline and to deal with them. And sometimes I have to be reminded, didn't I show you grace and mercy when you made a bonehead decision? See, the same way that you're wanting to deal with them, I chose not to deal with you that way. Because I chose not to extend my hand and reach out and touch your life. Now, you have to extend the same grace and mercy to your kids. And that has been one of the biggest lessons. And that's what Joseph is showing us here, that it doesn't matter what they did to him. He remembers what God has done for him. And that puts him in a place to have a different perspective to deal with these guys. In Luke chapter 6, 27 and 28, Jesus is talking to the people, and he says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." This is our response as believers, that despite the people on your job, and how many of y'all know those people on your job can really get on your nerves. And, you know, you're wanting to serve them a two-piece, but we're not talking about church's chicken. You know what I mean? We're not talking about a meal. We're talking about a really good combo, sometimes a five-piece, if you know how to string it together. But in this moment, that is not what Joseph shows us. Joseph's maturity shows us that I will respond a different way. Moving on, the next thing that we see with Joseph's maturity is that it allowed him to see the bigger picture. Now, you all, this is one of the, I would say, the more difficult things to deal with when you are in a situation with people who have wronged you. Because we're so focused on, we almost develop tunnel vision. Working in the transportation industry, and in the safety department, we preach to our guys as they're driving, don't develop tunnel vision. Because if you develop tunnel vision, you're not able to see what's going on around you. You're focused on one object. And so if a car sneaks up, if they slam on their brakes, whatever, you're not able to see because your head is not on a swivel. You are just lasered in. And Joseph, in this moment, shows us through his maturity that he's able to see the bigger picture. Let's go to chapter 45, verses 5 through 8. And so now, up to this point, the brothers have returned from Canaan with Benjamin, and now they are ready to, they feasted with Joseph, and now here they are getting ready to bring their father back to Egypt. And so chapter 45, verses 5 through 8 says this, "And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." So now in this moment, Joseph realizes that what his brothers tried to do to him, They tried to harm him. They tried to take his life. This moment is bigger than how I feel. This moment is bigger than what you tried to do to me. Because now I'm seeing my perspective has been shifted in such a way that what you meant to harm me, God worked it out for my good. And now I see the reason why I'm here. I understand that God sent me ahead of you. No. You didn't send me here. God sent me here on purpose. See, because if you guys go back to chapter 42, verse 9, as soon as he saw his brothers, he remembered the dream. He remembered that God gave him the dream that his brothers were going to bow down to him. And in that moment, it leads him here to chapter 45, where he says, you didn't do this. You didn't do this. God did this because I needed to save your life. So could it be, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to shift our perspective just a little bit? I get it. You're hurt. I get it. They did you wrong. But could it be that God wants you to broaden your perspective and see the bigger picture, that I have strategically placed you where I've placed you because the people who did you wrong just might need something from you? It says that he was strategically put in place in order to save his family, and that God sent him ahead of them to establish a remnant. Y'all, this is way bigger than Joseph. This is way bigger than Joseph, because this actually deals with the promise that God gave to Abraham, that God was going to make Abraham a great nation, right? But if Joseph doesn't get it, if Joseph doesn't learn in this moment, if he does not mature in this moment and he just focuses on himself, his hurt, his feelings, and how they did him wrong, he may miss the moment. And it's an opportunity for his brothers to receive mercy and to receive forgiveness. But we have to be to the place where we can say, you know what? I trust you enough to allow me to see the bigger picture. I honor you enough to say, yeah, I really could get them back, because I do have some nefarious friends. All it takes is one phone call, and y'all will see on the news somebody's house is on fire. Their car is blown up. Hey, it's always good to have a few nefarious friends. But those could be the responses. But we have to see the bigger picture. And Joseph was able to see the bigger picture because he has trusted God for this entire journey. From the very moment God gave him the dream, to the cistern, to Potiphar's house, and to the palace, it has always been a life of trust that Joseph has been putting on the table. And so as we move on, if we are not developed properly, if we are not allowing God to shape our perspective, if we are not allowing God, if we're not allowing these moments, if we go through these moments and the only thing that we say is why, don't get me wrong, it's okay to ask God questions, but at some point, we have to stop asking the question why and say, you know what, I trust you anyway. See, because God had not given Joseph any reason to doubt him. And ladies and gentlemen, the last time I checked scripture, God has not given us any reason to doubt him. In the midst of a fallen world, he's the only thing that is consistent. His word is the only thing that is constant. He's the only one that's faithful when everybody else is faithless. He's the only one who keeps his word in the midst of people who constantly break their promises. And so again, Joseph's maturity led him to this moment to see the bigger picture. Somebody may be waiting on us today to see the bigger picture. Somebody's life may be in the balance. And it's on us to catch what God is doing, to see the bigger picture. See, you all, every day when I get up now, and it'll be 2 years in August that I've been in this chair, I had to come to the place where I told God, God, this is bigger than me. Me being here in this chair, this moment is bigger than me. See, because I could have focused inwardly and said, why, God? Why? Don't get me wrong, I did. Early on, I did. I had questions. Man, I had a journal full of questions. And I wanted God to answer them. But there came a moment when I said, you know what? I got to trust you anyway. Because he's not giving me any reason to doubt him. And in the same way, whatever situation you're dealing with in your life, wherever God has you in this moment, we have to shift our perspective to see the bigger picture. Lastly, Joseph's maturity benefited others. When we finally get it, when we finally realize what God is wanting to show us, somebody is going to benefit from it. So chapter 45, verses 9 through 11, it says, now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you and your children and your grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. So Joseph says, you guys come down here with me. Come to Goshen with me, and I'm going to provide for you. There is a famine in the land. You guys can't get food, but I'll bring you here to Goshen, and I'll make sure that you're taken care of. Not only you, Dad, but your kids and your grandkids, your flocks and your herds, everything that is connected to you will come down here and I will provide for you. And what's interesting about this is an opportunity for Jacob to see the hand of God as well. Because God made some promises to Jacob.
Yes, he did.
And so now on this bigger level, Jacob is able to see God's provision in the life of Joseph. And now his brothers are able to experience God's provision as well. So somebody out there is waiting for us to get it, waiting for us to stop having this pity party. And don't get me wrong, you all have your moment. Sometimes I have a few moments a week, right? Just have them, but then keep pushing. Have them, but then keep getting up every day. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't just stay there. See, because the enemy would love nothing more than for you to get in a pity party and then he begins to isolate you. And then if he can isolate you, then he can begin to distract you from what it is you're supposed to be doing. And so again, Joseph's maturity in this moment benefited others because he got it, because he understood. And I want to put this out there that in no way am I saying that Joseph achieved this on his own. Because what the things that Scripture asks of us, there's no way we can do them on our own. Ever. There's nothing in the Scriptures that God asks us to do that we can fulfill in and of ourselves. The only reason that Joseph got to this moment is because God developed him through each and every situation. So the beauty is that we have help from the Holy Spirit. That in those moments when we want to respond the wrong way, in those moments when we tell God, I don't want to see the bigger picture. I want to focus on my feelings. I want to live in this state of emotionalism. The Holy Spirit is there to lead and to guide and to prompt us in the right direction. You may be sitting here today and you may think or even look back over your life and know that there are areas where you want to deal with people the way that you want to deal with them, where you do want to call your nefarious friends. You're thinking about it right now, man. If I could just send a text right now, I know that I could get this person taken care of and nobody at work would notice that they're even gone. I could really deal with it. But I encourage you, I admonish you, I implore you to trust his plan. His plan is bigger than how you feel. It's bigger than your response. And he is able to lead and guide you in the way that he wants you to go. Because again, we respond a different way. We see the bigger picture and we allow others to benefit from our obedience. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, God, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, God, who may be here, who may be struggling in this moment to see the bigger picture, who may be struggling, God, to respond a different way because the hurt is so real. The pain that was caused is so deep. And Lord, we really want to deal with this thing on our own. But Father, I pray for their hearts in this moment. God, that they would trust you to know that you have our best interest at heart and you are able to deal with people way better than we could. See, God, because you are all about drawing people to you. And Lord, you used Joseph in this moment through his responses, through allowing him to see the bigger picture. The example he put on the table is an opportunity for his brothers to receive forgiveness, an opportunity for his brothers to see you, an opportunity for his dad to see you. And Father, I pray that you would help us not to stand in the way of you drawing people to you just because our feelings are hurt, just because we are offended. But God, that we trust you to mend our hearts, to mend our spirits. God, and as we put trust and obedience on the table, Father, that people will benefit. Because the truth is, we may be the only example of you that people ever see. God, they may never darken the doors of a church. They may never even open up the Bible. They may never hear a sermon preached. But God, all they're looking at is, how are we responding? God, and I pray that you help us to put grace and mercy on the table, because we will not forget, God, what you've done for us. God, because your word says that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died. Galatians 4:4 says that at the right time, you sent your son to come and to die for us. And I thank you, Lord. I love it because Joseph would forever see the reminder of what you did for him and his sons. And I pray, God, that we would never forget what you've done for us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.